Connie Ray Andreas, co-founder of NLP Comprehensive of Boulder, Colorado. Welcome to this audio tape of Using Your Brain for a Change with Richard Bandler, co-developer of Neuro-Linguistic Programming. When my partner, Steve Andreas, and I were first introduced to NLP in 1977, we set aside much of what we were doing in order to study these exciting and rapid new ways of changing feelings, thoughts, and behaviors. NLP was a brand new field which promised a great deal. Now, 12 years later, those promises have been kept, and others we hadn't even dreamed of are also fulfilled. NLP is now used to relieve phobias and traumas, to eliminate habits, transform unwanted emotions such as grief, guilt, and shame into positive, resourceful ones, to improve self-esteem and relationships, and to release individuals from addictions, abuse, and codependence. And this is far from a complete list. One of NLP's fundamental principles is that we respond to our internal experience of the world rather than to the world directly. This is a wonderful principle because it means that by changing the way we see, hear, or feel events, we can transform limitations into resources. The field of NLP is about how exactly we can do that. Here's an example. Right now, think of a pleasant experience you've had. Perhaps you think of a moment from a vacation, a party, or with a special friend, any experience that's pleasant. Let yourself relive that experience now and notice what you see as you relive this moment. Now take whatever you see and make it gradually bigger, closer, and brighter. Notice how your feelings change in response. Then make your image gradually smaller, dimmer, and farther away until you can barely see it. How does this change your feelings? Now make it as big and close as it was at the beginning. If you're like most people, when you made the picture bigger and closer and brighter, your feelings became stronger. This usually increases the intensity of feelings, while making a picture small, dim, and far away usually decreases the intensity of your feelings. Now, had you ever thought about intentionally varying the brightness and distance of one of your memories so that you could feel differently? Probably not. Most people just let their memories make them feel good or bad, depending upon how we happen to think about them. With NLP, we have a lot more options. What if you thought of an unpleasant memory, something that when you think about it, you feel bad? Now make that picture smaller and farther away. If you leave it out there, you still have the information from that experience, but it won't bother you anymore. The same kind of thing happens with our internal sounds and voices. If you hear one quiet voice, as if from a distance, saying, "You can do it," it doesn't have much impact. If you hear many voices with full, rich sound all around you, saying, "You can do it," it will be much more compelling. On this tape, you'll hear Richard use the word representations. By this, he means what we see, hear, or feel on the inside. Representational systems are our sensory systems, visual, auditory, kinesthetic feelings, taste, and smell. Richard also uses the word submodalities. Submodalities are the characteristics of what we see, hear, and feel. How big, bright, or close a picture is, or how loud a sound is, for example. There are many more examples of how the way we see and hear our experiences on the inside makes a difference. The way we see and hear things internally is also reflected in the way we talk. We may find ourselves saying things like, "My future looks bright," or, "I just put that experience behind me." Rather than just figures of speech, these are usually precise, literal descriptions of the speaker's internal experience. The genius principally responsible for this amazing and powerful body of knowledge is Richard Bandler. An original co-developer of NLP, he has repeatedly delineated new principles and patterns of the human mind. We're pleased to be able to offer these audio selections from a series of advanced NLP seminars that Richard conducted for NLP Comprehensive between 1987 and 1989. The selections are drawn from the breadth of his work during that period and carefully chosen for their accessibility to the newcomer to NLP and the subtleties they will reveal to the trained NLP practitioner. These selections are like tastes of entrees, These tastes may satisfy, or you may become hungry for the full-length multiple-day seminars that are available on videotape from NLP Comprehensive. And now, Richard Bandler live.
One of the things that I've noticed is that the people's internal organization has really doesn't make much use of the submodalities and the representational systems. The people with their little tiny pictures and their squeaky little internal dialogue voices, even the people that tell me, that there's too much going on inside their head, when I find out what's going on, there's nothing going on in there, you know. And what is going on, they've got five of the same little tiny things going on at once, and that's because they never really develop any of this stuff out to the nth degree. When I went to bed last night, I guess I had a movie on or something, and I fell asleep, and the channel went off the air, and it went through the night. And then the first thing that happened was, is I got this, Richard Roberts full choir. You know, it was the first thing, suddenly it went bleep on, and then the first thing I heard was this giant choir, right? And for me, I didn't realize the TV had come on. I thought I woke up, because that's more what my internal experience is like. That when, somebody was mentioning to me that when they're about to go out to do something, like they're about to go out on a date, they get anxious. You know, and the little voices that talk to them back and forth and all this kind of stuff. And when I prepare to do something, I mean, it's like a Wagnerian opera inside of my head. And I found that most people, especially with internal auditory, it's weak, 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 weak. So one of the things that I thought we'd do is to see if we can take some of the things that you do normally and begin to expand them. For example, when you're thinking about going to teach or going to work, you know, I mean, Steve was telling me that he has, which one is it? Yeah, but how does it go? Give it. Right, that when he goes to do anything that's a challenge, that this is going on in his head. But it's not going on in his head with just a little voice humming it. It's going on, you know, with a 30-piece orchestra, you know, and lightning bolts clashing, you know, da 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 da, you know. And to me, this is familiar. I understand this, right? Then in order to have pizzazz yourself, your internal world's got to have some. That, you know, if your internal voices mumble, you know, it's all you hear inside your head, you know, little tiny pictures this big, you know, right, you know, maybe a little value system like this, you know. Every once in a while I get somebody who has a panoramic picture, but it's kind of faded, you know, and there ain't that much going on in it, you know. I mean, I know people have panoramic pictures and they're still, and that's a belief, you know, right? And, you know, and they wonder why they never kind of get going and get juicy in life or become expressive. Part of being expressive is that there's a drama going on the inside. You know, with me, you know, I've got the sweet inspirations singing, you know, when it's time to, you know, I just go, I don't just think to myself, gee whiz, I have to go pick up my date. Let's see, little tiny slide of date, you know. I mean, then it's, you know, I'd never get out of the house, man. Never would, you know. It's like it starts out with me, you know, it starts out with a timpani drum, right? See, when I went, right? And then suddenly there's 20 timpani drums. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. You know, got to build up gradually, you know. And then it starts out with the strings. See? And the thing I wanted you to do is I wanted you to be able to stop, because especially with the auditory system. I mean, you know, if you stop and, you know, and in your mind, you see, it's like if you start, like if you just think about going out to do something right now, if you close your eyes for a minute and you just start with the sound of one timpani drum, right, and make sure it's deep enough that has that timpani rumble. The rumble, you can feel it in your stomach, the rumbles, and you turn the volume up a little bit. And then as you look up, have the picture start to move back away from you and get bigger. And as it moves back away and gets bigger and expands, there's more and more timpani drums. They add, and the rumble of it, it's like, you know, an earthquake till you can feel it in your body. As rich tones, and the tone is coming from all around you, not from one little place, right? That you, whatever you, location you start with, start to expand the location of the sound till it fills the room. Then a couple of big thunderbolts come down, and you hear it just rumbles all the way through you. And then once, you know, that's just the little beginning. Say, you know, then what you need is like the internal dialogue that says, says, it's time to leave for my date, right? What you want is one voice. What you want is a nice, strong voice that sings it like a gospel singer. It's time to go out on that date. And then you want the background singers to come in, 400 of them, right? Oh, yeah, 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 what a date it's gonna be. Now, when you can hear that, and when it rumbles all the way through your body, yeah, amen. Right, and that's when the horn section comes in. Right. Right, a nice big bass, Right, and when you start adding these things in and filling out this representation, you are going to get motivated, right? That way, it's, instead of sitting in front of the mirror going, well, I don't know if you like my tie. I mean, I don't know how anybody ever gets out of the house with the stuff like this. They don't, you know, with me, you know, it's, you know, the lightning bolts are going off and, you know, and there's fireworks going up. And you know that rumble that comes just before the fireworks? That, right, and then it's going, that kind of stuff. I get excited, right? I'm out there and, yeah, you know, right? And the other guy, you know, that's going to go out with me is up there, and he's gone. He's going, Richard, do you like my tie? You know, what time is it? Right, like that. And me, you know, I'm at the door going, and he's at the door going, well, we have our keys. Do I have my money? He said, gee whiz, man. So maybe we should be a little late, you know. Well, where do you think you go? Where do you want to go? I want to go everywhere. Well, don't get excited, you know. You know. I mean, I don't know how people live this way, right? For me, walking down the street, man, there's music coming from everywhere and stuff, you know. I don't know. I don't need to carry no big thing on my shoulder to do that, right? But at least those people are trying. Now, the thing is if your internal voices don't have enough depth and tone to them that they rumble when they talk, I mean, you know, it's like the old thing about, was it you that told me about Stephen King here and the voice behind his head? I mean, you know, if you wanted to get to work, if you hear this voice kind of echoing from like a subway, and suddenly it comes up behind you and goes, get to work! You know, yeah, I'm going, you're up and running. Right? But if you have a thing that goes, well, I really have a lot of work to do. And then it's silent, you know, and you have a picture this big of your desk. Right? You try to pull it closer to get more motivated. And then you wonder why people say, you know, well, gee, when Richard lectures, he seems to be so much more exciting than other people. Well, they're lecturing, they've got a blackboard this big in their mind. Right? And they're going, well, the step number one is you have to be able to elicit responses. You know, like enthusiasm. Right? I mean, to me, you know, the responses are there. You know, I have these full, gigantic things, sensorama, you know. I have the big Dolby speakers turned down onto the ground so it rumbles when the music is there. Now, the thing is what I want you to do this time is I want you, you have your little submodality lists. Especially in the domain of sound, many of you have not learned to take the tone and to make it as rich and as deep to the point where you can feel it in your whole body. Let alone, I mean, you know, to me, if you're going to say something to yourself inside your head, you ought to have a chorus of background singers to back it up. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, right? You know, I mean, if I say now, I am walking over there to talk to that lady, voices go, oh, yeah. There ain't no room for a voice to go, well, maybe you better not, you know, because it's drowned out by 50 singers, right, you know. And as I start to stand, you know, everything goes quiet. And then there's a big, giant drum roll on the timpani. So when I get up, I feel like I've gotten up. And when I go to take the first step, each step crashes. There's a lightning bolt that goes, big one like this, all the way across the front. And the whole background lights up, and the sky rumbles. And it rumbles through my body. I can feel it when I move. So I know that I'm alive. Right? But if you get up, you know, and you hear... And the little voice off in the distance inside the back of your head goes, it'll be all right. Don't worry. Right? And then you feel a tenseness in your stomach. You know, this kind of stuff, you know, I mean, if you're going to do it, do it. Because I want the air around me to be alive like static electricity. And what makes it that way is to have the inside like static electricity. You know, I thought what might be a good idea to begin to help some of you to get to those representations would be if you began to do it deliberately. If you think about something that you need to be motivated to do and, like, go in and compare the kind of motivation I'm talking about with yours right now. Do you find any differences whatsoever?
See, the thing is that if life has no drama on the inside, you sure can't expect it to have much on the outside. If I want people to be more alive and more juicy, it's not so much that I take this, that I make them believe that they are, because then they'll believe life is really exciting, which is fine as long as I don't have to talk to them. But if I am going to have to talk to you, I want you to be alive and vibrant. Now, on that list of submodalities, if you start thinking big. You start thinking about something you want to be motivated to. You want to be sucked towards it. You want to have every representation inside you that talks about it. You want voices. Now, the first step is and I really want you to start with the auditory, because some of you are pretty good with pictures. But sound, I've found that people in this country are weak, 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 weak. Now, if you've ever been to a symphony, right? Most of you have been to a symphony? Compare that with a record, right? A Walkman, right? Most of you, like, have a Walkman with one thing on it. And no tone control, you know, so you listen to a Wagnerian opera, you know, you listen to Don Giovanni, and instead of it going, we want you to the band, you know, we'd really appreciate it if you had a chance to repent, you know, and instead of Don Giovanni going, never, he goes, well, man, I just don't think so, not right now, man, you know, it's just, there's something lost in the translation there. Now, what I want you to do is to start by taking the internal representation about something you want to be motivated to do, something you like to do, but when you do it, you ain't got nearly the juice you could. Because what we're going to do is we're going to crank things up, and more importantly, have it get fuller, so that the internal tone is rich and deep. So the point where, when you get one voice to the point where you can hear it, to the point where it vibrates in your body, then you start adding. Now, how many of you, your internal dialogue doesn't have any background singers to back them up? You want to make a point to yourself, man? I mean, you know, think about it, man. You've all watched TV, right? You watch TV, you know. I mean, even the guys on Sunday TV, they know that, you know. They make a point, man, you know, and then the voices rise up at the chorus there. I mean, you got to have at least four or five black singers in the background to make any point, I figure. The sweet inspirations. I mean, even Elvis did that, you know. Now, I mean, if they're entitled to a little harmony there, you know, a little volume, nice and, you know, I mean, something to really get you motivated. Because when you listen to those kind of voices, when you hear them on TV and in the movies, they get you going, don't they? Now, if they can use it there, why shouldn't you be using it in your own life? It makes life a lot more fun to begin with. So what I want you to do is to start by taking just one thing you need to motivate yourself to be really up for. And I want you to take the internal dialogue you have, and I want you to think Wagnerian opera. I want you to think gospel singing. I want you to think symphony. I want you to think the best rock and roll you ever heard, and we're going to combine it together. And then we're going to bring Steven Spielberg in for special effects.
Now that you've experienced Richard explaining and demonstrating how he gets motivated, this would be a good time for you to pause the tape and try it out for yourself. Think of something you want to be more motivated to do and find out how you think about it now. How big a picture is it? Is it a movie or a slide? What happens as you make it bigger, brighter, and closer? What happens when you add voices and music, increasing the tone and volume? When you learn to vary these and other submodalities, you can increase and decrease how you respond to your own thoughts. It is also good practice to more easily be able to do the processes Richard will teach later on this tape. Experiencing love is one of the great mysteries and joys of being human. Sometimes it can become a source of great concern for us when we have fallen in love with someone inappropriate or destructive to us, or when we found a love we value very much and fear it might fade. Richard delineates one of the structures of thought that causes people to stay in love and how to fall out of love, if that's appropriate. He talks a lot about association and dissociation. Association is when you think of a memory and you see and hear it through your own eyes, as if you are reliving it again. In contrast, when you dissociate, you see yourself from the outside, as if you're watching yourself on a movie screen or on TV. As you'll soon discover, these are crucial submodality elements to falling in and out of love.
The trick to falling out of love is really one that has to do with association and disassociation. That when you want to fall out of love, what you do is you disassociate yourself from the pleasant memories
and associate with the unpleasant memories. When you want to stay in love, you do the opposite. And you must get this right. The thing is that, you know, when you have a relationship, for example, if you were just about to marry someone, right, one of the rules of thumb about keeping love alive is to make sure that whenever there's anything that's unpleasant that goes on between you, that whenever you think back about it, disassociate from it. And whenever you think about any of the good things that you do together, associate with the memories. See, for example, what, you're getting married, right? What's your name, do you know?
Ginny.
Ginny, well, is that hesitation there, you know? Ginny, okay. Now, if you stop right now, what I want you to do is to pick five of the most exquisite experiences you've had with Ginny. And when you think about those memories, what you do is you see what you saw at the time, hear what you heard, make a full panoramic, include sound, smell, and if there is, taste. Okay? All right, and just sit there and do five of those associated. Say, now, with
mine's the opposite.
Yes, yours is the other way around. When there's somebody that you want to get over with, right, the thing is that what you do is you pick five of the worst experiences, or eight is even a good number for this, and what you do is you associate with the unpleasant memories, right? Now, the trick is that you run them by quickly. See, the thing is, have you ever heard, you know, you hear this phrase, the straw that broke the camel's back, it was just one time too many? Well, it has to do with the number of times that happen within a certain proximity. So the other thing is, you know the thing about time, about bringing things close? That's that when you want things to seem recent, you bring the images closer to you. So you keep the images close and go ahead and run through 5 to 8. Now, in your case, there's another dimension. See, for example, if you, for example, still had feelings for some other woman, right, and, you know, you decided since I'm going to marry this one, maybe I'll get rid of those, right, makes for a better marriage, that what you do is you go ahead with somebody you want to fall out of love with, you go ahead and associate with unpleasant memories, right? See, with somebody you want to be in love with, you associate with the pleasant memories, and then you go through and disassociate and put great distance with anything, because any relationship, anything that goes on with anybody, there's going to be good times and bad times. I mean, that's all there is to it. The trick is that when you think about them in your mind, because sometimes there's too many unpleasant things too fast, right? They happen too close together. There's a phenomenon known as threshold. And when you go through threshold, it's very difficult to go back. It's like taking a piece of sheet metal. Have you ever seen a piece of sheet metal? You can bend it, you can bend it, you can bend it, and then at a certain point in time, it snaps. You can never get it straight again. So the trick is to run a maintenance program on relationships. That the thing is that you go ahead and you pull up and associate with the pleasant memories, and with somebody you want to stay in love with, you disassociate from unpleasant memories and really push them off into the distance. So you create a lot of distance between you. I mean, literally, you know, 25, 30 feet between you and the pictures, and also see yourself in them. Now, if you use that as a formula, now, you just go in and associate with all those pleasant memories and disassociate from the unpleasant ones. So yeah, what?
People that you're trying to be out of love with.
Right.
There's always good memories from the past and other people.
Yeah, aren't there?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that if the people aren't in the past, what you want to do is you want to become disassociated from the memories. In other words, the good memories that you have of those people, you want to see yourself in those memories and push them off into the distance. Okay? You want to associate with anything that's unpleasant with those people. See, I mean, you know, if you're still kind of in love with somebody else and they're kind of still around, it's kind of a good idea to go through threshold.
It's spelled L-U-S-T.
Yeah, it is. it's called T-R-O-U-B-L-E. I believe is the name of it. Yeah. The thing is that you just disassociate yourself from the lust experiences and put them off in the distance. And anything that's with that person that was unpleasant, anything they did that bugged you or things you don't like, pull up close, right? Associate with the memories and run them by real fast, 5 or 6 of them, real quick, okay? And do it about 3 or 4 times, okay?
You may now go do that. It will help you.
Many people are surprised at how simple the process of change often is with NLP. Some of them even say, it can't be that easy, and never even try the process because nothing that simple could work. Whenever you figure out how something works, it usually is simple. No one thinks electric lights are too simple to use, yet it was only about 100 years ago that Edison and others were experimenting with hundreds of things to get a bulb to light with electricity. Today, we use CD players, computers, cordless telephones, and aren't surprised when the next gadget comes along. The theory of electricity allows us to do all this. The simplest, most elegant theories usually work best, and NLP is no exception. We invite you to pause now to try out the relationship maintenance program Richard outlined with someone you love and want to stay in love with. Think of 5 of the most special times you've had with this person. Now run movies of these times, associated, reliving them from your point of view, so that you can fully enjoy your good feelings toward this person. Then think of several unpleasant times you've had with this person, making sure you see each one dissociated, seeing yourself out there, far away. Run through 5 very quickly this way so your mind gets the idea. This makes it possible for you to have the information from those experiences, but to feel comfortable while you're thinking of them. If there's someone you want to fall out of love with, do the reverse. Associate into your unpleasant memories and dissociate from the pleasant ones. Now that your awareness of submodalities is developing and you're getting a sense of their importance, Richard will guide you through a technique he developed for resolving a wide variety of problems.
One of the things I try to instill in all my clients is to do things in their own best interest. And you would think that would be a prime directive of being a human being, doing things that are in your own best interest. But that's not at all the case. Just kind of roam back in your history a little bit and think about how many things you've done, and while you knew you were doing them, you knew they were stupid, right? And something propelled you to do them anyway. So something seemed so important, you know. I mean, if your boyfriend drops you, you know, so you're going to go out and get drunk and go drive your car off a cliff. That'll show him, you know. Make it easy for him is what it'll do. And, you know, either that or you'll go out with people you don't like, you know, stuff like that, you know. I see this kind of stuff in human beings a lot. Rather than they're having the ability to know how to put something in the past and not care about it. And human beings get locked into something being familiar to care about, it's hard for them to stop caring about it. It's one of the reasons people have so much trouble with relationships ending. You know, you would think that, you know, if somebody goes, I don't love you anymore, I don't like you, in fact, I can't even stand being around you, that would be enough. You know, that something inside your brain would go, all right. But instead it goes, you love me, I'll die. You know, it's as if they want somebody to pretend to love them who hates their guts. But something inside their brain in the stupid center, you know, a switch flicks over and goes, I'm going to get you to act like an idiot for at least 3 months. And, one of the things that, well, it's true. I see this all the time, man. It's like, you know, you think you've been dumb before. Watch this. Click. The switches go over. And, you know, and then the dumb juice comes out and you start getting mad about things you don't even care about. You know, you start doing things you don't even want to do. And you start hanging around with people you don't like either. Because after all, if you want somebody who doesn't like you to hang around with you, then you should hang around with people you don't like. It makes sense, doesn't it? There is a certain perverse logic to it. And to me, one of the things about really learning to run your brain is to learn how to put things behind you, learning how to make yourself be able to not care about things that you really don't care about. There was a time where wanting to get a bicycle was the most important thing in the world, you know. And for some of us, at least, not all of us, but for some of us, we could really care less now. And what I want you to do is to find something like that, that when you think about it, you go, ah, so what? Now, I want you to find it. I also want you to think about something
that is something from your past that seems like it's such a big deal that it's getting in the way of your present. In other words, for example, like her memories, you know, it's like she walked up and tried to talk to people, and she's seeing this from her childhood. I mean, you know, that's no way to have fun. You know, it's, I mean, a fun date, you know, take this girl out, you know, she sits there and there's pictures between you and her of people being mean to her. You know what will happen is you think you're making her nervous. So I'll go inside and start saying to myself, I wonder what I'm doing that's making her so uptight. So now pretty soon, not only is she not paying attention to what's going on, neither am I. We might as well go in separate cars. Now, the thing is that what I want you to do is to go through and get a description. The reason I want you to do this is to familiarize you. Some of you in here, I know, have had a little bit of... training in some modalities, and some of you haven't. But you kind of have an idea from the thing I just did here what I'm talking about. What I want you to do is I want you to go through and find out what the difference is, subjectively in your mind, between something that's a big deal. You know, it can guide your life. It's something that you believe is interfering with you having fun. I mean, you know, whatever it is, it's raining on your parade. See, I don't think that most of people's problems are really the problems. The problem is that they're not having enough fun. Because if they were having a lot more fun, they'd forget to have their problems. The thing that you're after here is to find something that doesn't matter. Anymore. In other words, it doesn't fit you. You're just through with it. Whatever it is. Now, on the other side, what you want is something where you're just well aware of the fact that your past is raining on your parade. Now, first thing you want to do is, all you want to do is you want to go through and find out what the difference is. I always like to start with location. That's my favorite one. I want to know, are the pictures in a different place? Because if they're in a different place, that's a big deal. If they're not in a different place, then they're going to be a different size, a different distance. And kind of run through all the things about the pictures. Now, you don't have to get exhaustive. Kind of go for the big ones. Is it movies? Is it slides? Do they see themselves in it as opposed to see what they saw at the time? Is it panoramic? For example, try something. This is kind of fun. Make a big panoramic picture, okay? You know what panoramic is? That's where it has no borders, right? Of some event that you were in. See what you saw at the time. Everything so it's real vividly, and then just tilt it like this. Now tilt it up and over this way. Now, the thing about panoramic pictures is that they really will influence your kinesthetics. It may be that one's panoramic, one's not. It may be that one is bigger, one is smaller. This one may be the one that doesn't matter, maybe further away, maybe black and white. Might be a slide, might be a movie. Now, what I want you to do is find yourself a partner and look at this as an opportunity to kind of dabble in somebody else's mind. Now, all you want to do is, you don't need to change anything, is to just find out how they're different. Now, when you go down your list, the only thing to notate is the ones that are different. If they're the same, don't pay any attention to them, because it doesn't matter. I mean, if they're both the same distance, it doesn't matter. But what you want to do is to get, now when you get all the way through the list, you know, or through most of it, what I want you to do is to take the one that's raining on their parade, and I want you to change it into, it doesn't matter. Just change all the submodalities over. Now, for those of you who have had any experience in the past, like things about anchoring, when you go through the kinesthetics, anchor them. So, and then when you tell them to move it over, you can fire off the anchor. That always helps, too. If you don't know about it, don't worry about it. It's not essential. Just, it's a way of beefing things up a little bit. But go through and literally take something that's raining on your parade and make it so it just doesn't matter anymore. Okay? And then we'll go through and beef it up a little bit. Now, I don't want you to do this. A lot of times when people do this, they talk about everything. They get into great detail. I want you to just to go down the list. Get yes, no, right, left, big, small. None of this, why it is, what it is. I don't want you to know what it's about when you're done. Only where it is. This is completely content-free, okay? When you start telling the other person what it's about, then you guys will start talking. We'll be here all day, okay? No content. When you're all done, then you can tell each other what it's about. Okay? Do you understand?
No.
Okay, what don't you understand?
I don't understand the task that you just...
Okay, the task is to think of two things. One is something that rains on your parade. In other words, it's something that gets in the way of you being able to act in some situation. Mm-hmm. When you're in the situation, you start thinking about this other thing. And, you know, it's something from your past, some memory that interferes with you being able to function the way you would like to. Right? Now, I also want you to think of something else. This is a whole other memory. Whether it was something that used to be important, but now when you think about it, it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't, you don't care about it at all. You know, that, could be anything. You know, it could be one time, and, you know, that you thought playing baseball was the most important thing in the world, and when you think about it now, you haven't even got the time to go do it. Whatever it is. Something that has changed in your life to the point where it just doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't influence your behavior. Now, then I want you to do is to stop and you think about the thing that rains on your parade, and then you stop and think about the thing that doesn't matter, and you notice, are the pictures in a different place? Are they a different size? Are they a different location? Right? Is one three-dimensional and the other two-dimensional? Is one in color, one in black and white? Literally go through and note the differences between them. Then take the one that is raining on your parade and make it the same as it doesn't matter. Okay? Go do it.
We hope you'll stop here and take 10 minutes or so by yourself or with a partner and try this process. Many of the processes in NLP training are done with another person. While it is certainly possible to do with yourself, another person is a lot less involved in your internal experience, and that often makes them more able to get the submodalities of your experience. You'll recall that Richard specifically told us to avoid talking about the content of the experience. This often amazes people about NLP. They say, "How can you help me to change things without knowing all about them?" This is because how you think about the difficulties and successes in your life is actually much more important than what these difficulties or successes are. This is fundamental to NLP and forms one of the foundations of the power and speed of NLP methods. Richard has said, make it a priority to put a smile on somebody's face every day, even if you have to settle for yourself. In this next selection, he'll teach you how to use submodalities techniques you've learned in this tape with other people so that everybody wins and gets to smile.
I want for you to begin an experiment. I want you to do a piece of covert elicitation. And you see, what I want you to do is to find someone who is not in this workshop. Right? And the thing is without ever mentioning the word NLP, right, without using words like submodality or any other pig Latin, right, you know, that comes from the way that we discuss these things to teach and train people, what I want you to do is to find out if what you can do is to elicit from somebody something by, you know, doing it in what we refer to as a conversation. Right. It's a normal thing that people do. You sit down somewhere and just start talking to somebody. And pick one state, right, that is one that you want to be able to amplify in another person. And first you just start talking to them about yourself. But here it is, Sunday night, so I don't want to have fun. It's Saturday night, I feel like having fun. Sunday night, you know. And, you know, it's just like I have this image in my mind, you know, of Saturdays. Right? You know, do you have anything like that? Right? You know, and the person will go, well, yeah, you know, and go, well, you know, what is it? What is it about Friday night or Saturday night? And you go, is it something? I don't know if it's, you know, it's like, is the picture bigger on Saturday? You know, and people will go, yeah. Right? And you go, how much bigger? Now. And see if you can make Sunday night into Saturday night for that person. Do we understand? Now, I suggest you do that by starting with yourself.
Now, turn the tape over for side two, more of Richard Bandler.